Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Jason. Thank you for those who led in our services today. Johnny, as he directed our minds. Jason in that prayer. And Jace, who read to us from God's Word. What a blessing it is to have so many who are willing and able to help us during our worship service. Speaking of the Metters, I had it written on my notes, on the bulletin earlier, but I just accidentally forgot to mention it. Please add to your prayer list the Metters family. Jeremy's uncle, Jerry's youngest brother, has passed away, and so we certainly want to remember them in our prayers as well. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, we have one of those verses that we all, no matter where we are in life, no matter if we're a child, a teenager, a young adult, married, single, been married for 50 years, been married for 5 days, whatever it may be, we probably all need to try to memorize Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. It is pinned there for us. And the Old Testament was written for our learning. The Bible reminds us Jesus Christ, we could also say the same about God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. So these words that were written and recorded by Jeremiah all these years ago are still applicable to us today. Again, as Jace read to us, let me reread it. And it will probably not be the last time we read it today. For I know the thoughts. Some versions, most versions probably say plans there. We could also, according to our lesson today, say purpose. So let's read it all three ways. For I know the thoughts, for I know the plans, for I know the purpose that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and of not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God knows your purpose. God knows your plans. God has planned out your life for you. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." Sometimes in life, we maybe are encouraged or inspired to live by this quote. Look out for number one. If you don't, no one else will. But see, there's a lot of problems in that quote. Because God's purpose for you and God's purpose for me is for us to not look out for number one. We'll unfold that more as this lesson comes to be. But when we try to do things on our own, when we try to do it all by ourselves, when we try to make sure that we are in charge of our own life, we sit on our own throne, bad things will always happen. I can look on my life and see that even though my faith has been strong and my faith is strong, there have been times when I've tried to take things into my own hands and they have failed miserably. You see, God has a purpose for you, and He has a purpose for me. And that purpose is not as complicated as we sometimes make it out to be. This morning in class, and I appreciate Jason's prayer, he was thankful that we had class this morning and we were able to learn, and he prayed that we could all take something from whatever class we were in. And I appreciate that because Bible class is so important. I believe it's the greatest time of our learning that we do corporately together. But in Bible class this morning, we're talking about the kings. We've talked about Saul, and we talked about him being on the edge of greatness. Saul was so close to being a great king, but yet he was still so far away. So the next king, obviously, in line is David, and he's been anointed in 1 Samuel 17. But you'll recall that he really comes onto the scene in 1 Samuel 17 as a young teenager or a teenager. And he's a shepherd, and he's bringing his family supplies, his brothers who are fighting, and he hears this challenge from this giant. But let me fast forward you to the actual battle, the confrontation. As Goliath is approaching, and David is approaching, Goliath's mindset is, how dare you send this little boy to me? Am I a dog that you send this boy, a youth, to me? I've been a warrior since my youth. I'm undefeated. I am 9.5, 10 feet tall. I'm a giant. Nobody can defeat me, and you are sending me this boy. Did you hear all that? Me, 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 me. 10 feet tall, whatever he was, 9.5. 400 to 500 pounds, whatever he weighed. Tremendous strength. Undefeated. But the problem was, he put all his purpose in him. He put all his stock in him. He was only willing to look out for him. David, on the other hand, went to Goliath and he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord my God. The God will deliver you into my hands. And so when David battled Goliath, again, it all looks out of proportion, right? Goliath's a giant. David's a small shepherd, teenager, shepherd boy. And so all that to say, it looks like David is going to be demolished. But we know the story. David wins, but it's because God won. And here's the difference. Goliath put his stock in himself. David put his stock, he invested in God and the purpose of God for his life. You know, when we say, look out for number one, if you don't, no one else will, we're trying to find fulfillment in ourselves. Guess what? We never will. We will never find fulfillment in ourselves because we were created to reflect the glory of God. The main goal in seeking to glorify self is to bring glory to ourselves. Therefore, we will never find lasting fulfillment in life. Let me give you some Bible verses. When our purpose is not God's purpose, this is what happens. And by the way, we're going to start in Ecclesiastes, the first couple. Let me tell you about Solomon. Just remind you about Solomon for a moment. The book of Ecclesiastes is a biography, really, of his life. He's writing about mostly his life and the things that he had experienced. And he starts out, you'll recall, one version puts it, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Another version puts it, emptiness, all is empty. And nothing matters, right? All this stuff doesn't matter. Solomon said, hey, look, I put my stock in me. I had it all, but I invested in women, I invested in money, I invested in fame, and I tried everything under the sun. But I could not find fulfillment. So he concludes the entire book this way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. He said, I tried everything. I put my stock in me. And it did not fulfill me. So in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8, he wrote this. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or brother. yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8, all things are wearisome. More than one can describe. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear content with hearing. He said, look, all these things I tried, and I was fulfilling me, and it left me empty. 1 John 2 verse 16, John wrote, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. In Romans 6:21, Paul wrote, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. I want to remind you, this is what God said, for I know the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You may be thinking today, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why did I come to worship today? Well, I want you to know that I can answer the question why you came to worship today, at least why you're supposed to come to worship today. I can answer the question of why you're here, and I can answer the question of what is your purpose. But what I can't do is make you surrender to that purpose. I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you, and I pray for you. But when it comes to getting rid of self and putting God in, that is on us. That's not a decision that we can force upon one another. But when you think about what the reason you're here, the reason you exist, the reason you're worshiping, the reason of your purpose, it's really not complicated. It's just a few things if you want to get technical about it. The first thing that we need to understand, God's purpose for us or our purpose in life is to have a relationship with God. That's why you exist. God knows your plans. He knows His thoughts of you. He knows His purpose for you. The number one reason you are here is to have a relationship with God. Now listen. Along the way, there are a lot of things we'll accomplish, right? Some may become independently wealthy. Some may work their way up and be a CEO of a company, or you may be your valedictorian, or you may be an all-state athlete, or whatever it may be. You may have all these great things in life that you accomplish, but that is not why you are here. You are here, you were born, because God wants a relationship with you. Our primary purpose is to be in a relationship with God. That is why we exist. Go back to the beginning, right? God created us to be in communion with Him. In Genesis 1 verse 27, we read, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. You remember, as Adam was created, and then later Eve is created, God joined them together. And once they were joined together, their purpose was to be in relationship with God and be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth, right? And it was all going to be great. But guess what? Satan said, oh no, that's not your purpose. Satan said, God put you here and He told you not to eat of this tree because He doesn't want you to be like Him. You know what that is? That is, hey, look out for your own self. Nobody else is going to look out for you. You better look out for you. You better do you. You better be number one in your own life. Well, what did that purpose, when they accepted that challenge from Satan, when they chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what did it get them? It got them emptiness. It left them unfulfilled. In fact, it kicked them out of paradise. It brought sin into the world. Christ had to come. God's plan, His scheme of redemption went into motion. Why? Because they chose their own purpose, not God's. Being made in the image of God means we are designed to reflect His character and to live in harmony with Him. Most of you, if not all, will agree with every word I'm saying because it's going to be biblical, right? We're going to back it all up. But if I were to go give this lesson at a university that's public in New York or California, really any of them, people would look at me like I had three heads. What do you mean you're here just to serve God? No, you're here to be you. You're here to be the best. You're here to blah, 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 right? But if we trace it back to what God did in the beginning, we were created to be in relationship with Him. That's why we're here, number one. And if you go back to Jeremiah 29, He says, if we seek Him, we'll find Him. So you know what we need to do to find Him? Number one, seek Him. If our purpose is to be in relationship with God, then the first thing we got to do is look for Him. Jeremiah 29:13 promises that we will find Him when we seek Him. How? With all our hearts. We can't be half-heartedly seeking Him. Do you want somebody, if you're in a boss, if you're a CEO, if you have your own company, do you want to work with somebody that is just, you know, they're just going to give you half the effort or quarter of the effort? No, you don't even want to go to McDonald's and have somebody give you a quarter of their effort. We don't want that in life. Why do we expect God to want that then? Why would we not seek God with all of our heart? You see, if my purpose in life, and again, it is biblical, if our purpose in life, we were predestined for this, okay? What predestined means, it's a fancy word to say that God created you to go to heaven and live with Him forever. That's why we're here. He predestined Adam and Eve to the Garden of Eden. By the way, they messed it up and we can too. But the reality is, we are here to seek God. Seek God. In fact, in Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus Christ Himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, all the things that were going to be added to you were food, clothing, and shelter, all the necessities of life. You don't have to go out and seek money. Again, we have to have money to get by. I get it. There are bills. There are food costs. There are gasoline. All these things I get. But we don't have to sacrifice our relationship with God to get money to survive. God said, you put me first and I'll provide everything. You know how else we find God? Through prayer and communication. Building a relationship with God requires communicating through prayer. Jeremiah 29:12, it reminds us, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. God desires a dialogue with us. He wants a relationship, remember? And a relationship only survives with communication. For instance, if I go home today, Michelle and I have been married for 25 plus years now. If I go home today, and I decide I'm never going to talk to my wife again. Listen, I didn't say I'm going to go home and talk ugly to her. I didn't say I'm going to go home and run her down and abuse her verbally. I said I'm just not going to go home and talk to her ever again. Never am I going to say a word. She's going to ask me a question. I'm not going to respond. She's going to try to get my attention. I'm not going to respond. I'm just not ever going to say a word. How long is that relationship going to last? Not very long. Because communication is key. Folks, if your purpose in life, if my purpose in life, number one, is to be in relationship with God, and I am not communicating with Him, then I don't have a relationship. Prayer is vital. Communication with God is vital. Reading His Word, seeking Him, looking for Him, it's all vital. He desires the God of existence, the God of the universe, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Creator of all things we know, desires a relationship with you. That's our purpose. But there's another purpose we have that God planned for us. Again, He planned it, right? It is this, to live out our faith. Our purpose in life extends beyond our personal relationship with God. You see, we are called, once we are in relationship with God, to live out our faith in ways that reflect His love and grace to the world. Remember what James said. He said that the demons believe, right? But they tremble. Why does he say that? Because he said faith must have works. Faith must have action. Faith must be an action word. You can't sit here and say, I believe in God, I love God, I'm going to be everything for God and not do anything for God. It doesn't work that way. You know, our purpose sounds a lot like own purpose. Remember, Bill has been teaching us that. He taught a class on it and it's been on his heart. We've got to do things on purpose. We've got to do things because of our purpose. There are people that need Jesus, and we got to carry it to them. We got to love them enough to tell them about Jesus. In fact, the way we make it tangible, number one, is to love others. In Matthew 22, 37 through 39, you know it, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs everything. Everything is produced by love. The fruit of the Spirit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You crack that fruit open, though, and there's joy and there's patience and there's peace and all the other things that go with the other fruits of the Spirit that we talk about and the Bible records about. But it all hangs on love. Today, if I do not love others the way Jesus Christ loved others, then I'm not in harmony with God. A second way we show our faith to the world or demonstrate our faith is to serve. Galatians 5:13 reminds us, serve one another humbly in love. Our purpose includes all the gifts and talents you've been given. But why do you have those gifts and talents? To bury them? In Matthew 25, remember the parable of the talents? The master, 5 talents to one, 2 talents to the other, 1 talent to the third one. 5 talents went and invested it and doubled it. 2 talents went and invested it and doubled it. The 1 talent man didn't do anything to waste the money. He didn't go out and use those talents that were given to him for prostitution or drugs or alcohol or gambling. He didn't gamble it away. He didn't go and waste the master's money. He was guilty of burying it. God's purpose for your life and my life to be in relationship with Him, to show my faith to others. Therefore, He's given us the tools necessary to do that. What are we doing with them? What are we doing with them? A third purpose that we can find out throughout Scripture and for our lives so that we can walk out of here and not have to think about what am I going to do with my life? We're going to know, right? Because number one, we're here to be in a relationship with God. We're also here to carry out our faith or demonstrate our faith. And then thirdly, we're here to become like Christ. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, He also, here it is again, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. One of your purposes in life. God knows the plans He has for you. He knows the plans He has for me. One of our purposes is He put us on this earth. And again, please hear me out. I know why people say it. But you know, like, when a child comes along that wasn't planned, you sometimes would say, oh, this was a uh-oh, or this was a mistake. Let me tell you, there are no mistakes in this room or on this planet, really. You're not an uh-oh. You were born on this earth to be in relationship with God. You were born on this earth to take the faith that God is going to give to you through His Word and carry it out and show Jesus to others. But then thirdly, you're here, as God said in Romans 8:29, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? We got to transform. We can't conform to the world. We got to transform that mindset to conform to Jesus. You know, in Romans 12, Paul talks about transformation and being conformed and such, and we need to transform by the renewing of our mind. You know, it also reminds us that God said that He is the potter and we are the clay. What do you do with clay? Well, you mold it. It has substance to it, and it's molded. And if we allow God, the ultimate potter, to mold you, or me, He's going to conform us to Jesus. But see, water has no substance. Water is conforming. We could put water in a bowl, and it would take the shape of a bowl. We could put it in a glass, it would take the shape of a glass. If this were a room that could hold water, it would take the form of this room. You understand how that makes sense? See, water is, it conforms to whatever it is around and whatever it's with. That's not who God created us to be. That's why as Christians, we've got to stand up for what's right. We do it all in love, but remember, God didn't make us to be doormats so that people can come up to our house or come up to us and wipe their feet on us. Yes, we're to be meek. Yes, we're to be gentle. But let me remind you, Jesus Christ also overturned tables. And the reason He did that is because it wasn't bringing glory and honor to His Father. To be like Christ doesn't mean we get walked upon. It means, though, that our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions, they've got to be the same as Christ. You know what happens when we're conformed to Jesus? Spiritual growth. We start growing. The transformation in going from this no backbone, gutless, no substance, water mindset to being that clay that can be molded to be like Christ, that transformation requires us to immerse ourselves in God's Word. At 12 years old, Jesus knew the law. He knew it so well that the scribes and the teachers that He was surrounded by, they were amazed. How well do you know the Scriptures? How well do I know the Scriptures? Listen, I don't believe we're going to have to quote a whole bunch of scriptures to get into the gates of heaven. And I'm thankful because I'm not a good memorizer at times. But we better know this book. If Jesus is who we're to be conformed by, He was doing it at a young age. He had good parents. They were keeping the law. Remember Deuteronomy 6. But Jesus knew the law. Today we would say Jesus knew the Bible. If Jesus were a child today and all of it had already been written, I know that's, we can't say that because one had to happen for the other. But he'd know the Bible. He'd know the written Word of God. If you want to be like Jesus and fulfill your purpose in life, if I want to be like Jesus and fulfill my purpose in life, then I can't just glance at it. Can't just read it occasionally. I need to immerse myself in this book. Psalm 119, 105, we ought to know that verse, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When we conform and become like Jesus, we will grow spiritually and we will display holiness and obedience. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. You understand the moon concept, right? When we look up at night and there is a full moon, it is not illuminating. It's reflecting. It looks like it's bright and lit up, right? But it's really reflecting. It's reflecting the sun. You and I need to be those moons. We need to be a reflection of the sun. We need to allow Jesus. People don't need to look at us and see us. They need to look at us and see Jesus. Now again, we're not going to be perfect in that like he was. But we got to be obedient. We're called to be holy. What's your purpose? Have a relationship with God. What's your purpose? To carry out my faith. What's your purpose? To be conformed and be like Jesus. But it doesn't end there. We have one more that I want to talk about this morning. It's to share the good news. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, it instructs us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I'm with you, even to the end of this age. The Great Commission is part of our purpose. I heard this morning about Ashley's grandmother. They were at the funeral. It was a small little place, and it was filled to the brim. No sitting room at all. And when you walk by and you talk to people about how did you know this lady, they said, she told me about Jesus. I am baptized today because of what she talked to me about. She took what she had, what she did, what she... some would look at it and say, your purpose on earth is to run this park and to make money, this RV park, and make money. But she said, my purpose on earth is God gave me this to tell others about Jesus. You see, that's pretty inspirational, right? Wherever God has put you in life, part of your purpose is to tell others about Jesus. To use what you have to tell others about Jesus. Mitch Henry, who is the president of Fulton University, he is really huge on being a vocational minister. He wants every student at Faulkner to graduate and be a vocational minister. What does that mean? Whatever your vocation is, you got to be ministers. God called us to evangelize. He called us to tell the story, to tell our story, which happens to be His story that happened in our life. We've got to share the message of salvation. In Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wherever your Jerusalem is, my Jerusalem starts at 3166 McRae Drive. That's my home. My Jerusalem starts there with my family. My Jerusalem starts in this community. My Jerusalem starts in Mobile, in Saraland, in Wilmer, in surrounding areas, right? our Jerusalem is right here, and we've got to tell others about Jesus. I was inspired last night. I was very blessed, my family and myself, to be a guest in the home of Sergey, Christina, and Elijah. Had a wonderful meal, had wonderful fellowship, and I wanted to hear their story. And they both told me their story. They told me their story, how they became Christians and how they met one another and how they're here today. And I think about all these thousands of miles away. Sergey told me there was a man that went there, and he knows his name. He doesn't know what happened to him. It was in 2004 that he remembers, you know, that he helped him as they went to church. His family didn't grow up going to church, but he went to church, and he helped him understand the Scriptures. And then later on when he went to church, those seeds were planted, and at 14 years old, he was baptized. You see, there was a man who took serious the responsibility, this man, to plant seeds. And I'm sitting in the home of a young couple who's a very impressive couple, talking to them about their Christianity and their story, all because people decided to take an opportunity with them. This is 3,000 miles away, right? You see, that's amazing. I can look back on my life. I grew up in the church. You know that. I grew up here. Fairview in here. But my mom, she brought Christianity into our family. In fact, helped lead my dad to Jesus Christ. But she did that because her dad and her mom brought Christianity into their family. But they did that because my grandfather's mother brought Christianity in her family. But they did that because somebody, somewhere, decided that that lady and their family needed to hear about Jesus. I don't know his name. I don't know who it was. I don't know what they did. But one day when I get to heaven, I want to look them up. You know why? Because somebody decided to evangelize my great-grandmother. I can stand before you today and preach Jesus Christ. Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth? When our purpose is to be rooted in Christ, shame can never overtake us. Let me say that again. When our purpose is to be rooted in Christ, shame can never overtake us. What brings shame? Guilt. What brings guilt? Sin. What brings sin? Self. Isn't that what James said? We're drawn away by our own lusts, our own desires, our own fill in the blank. Oh, the devil makes me do it. No, he doesn't. He's good at what he does. He tempts us, but he doesn't make us. You know who makes us? Self. I've told this story before, but there is a bass that is mounted. I didn't catch it. My brother Toby did. On the wall in my office. He could see that female bass on a bed. And he threw on her 20-something times. He cast a lure at her 20-something times. And she resisted. But there came a time, whether she was annoyed, mad, hungry, or what, yet she struck. And now she's on my wall. Satan knows your lure. He knows what it takes. He knows where you are mentally, physically, spiritually. And he's going to cast it on you. And he's going to cast it on you. And he's going to cast it on you. And you can resist, 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 resist. But when you have that moment of self-pity, self-doubt, or self-fulfillment, there comes a point in time when we strike. And We bite. And unfortunately, sometimes we get hooked. That brings shame. Hey, sin is sin. Right? Separation from God is separation from God. So no matter what sin we have, it all brings shame. But we sin because we are wrapped up and lured by our own desires. In order to overcome that, we have to realize what our purpose is. Goliath's purpose was Goliath. Solomon's purpose at one time was Solomon. It took Goliath's head. Solomon was left empty. Today, if you try to fulfill your purpose in your job, in money, in status, in fill in the blank, you are empty. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul reminded us that we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 and 6, Paul wrote this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses," dead in our own mistakes, right? "He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus today." If you've forgotten your purpose for a while, you've forgotten that your purpose is to be in a relationship with God. You've forgotten that your purpose is to carry out your faith. You've forgotten that your purpose is to be like Christ. You've forgotten that your purpose is to be able to share the good news of Jesus. And you drifted away. You drifted out in the world. And you've lost your way. This is it. God knew that was going to happen to you. And so He said, "Jesus, make it all right again." Today, don't leave being filled up with self. Today, leave here being filled up with the Savior. Today, if you need to be baptized in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins, or you need to come home and make things right, you have the opportunity right now. Let's find our purpose. Let's fulfill our purpose. Let's do it to the glory of God. And let's do it next day.